Do you know how it feels to know something's missing, to hear a still small voice you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on the cross someone died?
Do you know how it feels when he knocks you surrender, have your sins washed away, never to be remembered? And now that it's real, tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good to know how it feels?
Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged?
Do you know how it feels wherever you roam? You still have the feeling that you're not at home, knowing heaven is real. Tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good to know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good to know how it feels?
And to know that it's real.
Ain't it good to know how it feels?
I agree, Gabe. Gabe said, hallelujah. And I agree. And that song, it talks about him who made the stars up above. I always think about that scripture in Genesis where it says, and he made the stars. That's something, isn't it? I mean, there's untold myriads of stars, and it takes about four words to say, and he made the stars. And just leaves it at that. That's God's handiwork. Amen. That's God's handiwork. Just flinging them out into space, brethren. That's something else. What a great God we serve. What a great God. And yes, I do know how it feels, by the way. I know that's a rhetorical question, but in my soul, I answer it every time I hear it. I do know how it feels to be saved, to be washed in the blood, to be born again. And I'm thankful. You say, well, it's not a feeling. Well, it's not. It's an act by faith, but there's a feeling that comes with it. Amen. I've never met anyone that got saved that didn't have a feeling to come with the faith. It begins by faith now. Salvation is not by feeling. It's by faith, but it's faith that produces feeling, and I'm thankful for that. I want to talk to you out of Romans here, chapter 1. I want you to pray with me about something. I've been asking the Lord, and I normally don't make prayer requests public, but this is something we can pray about. This is not about me. This is about us. This is about what I would like to see as the pastor of the church. Let's pray and ask God to help Fellowship Baptist Church to give $125,000 to missions. All right, would you pray with me about that? I want you to pray with me about it. You say, well, we've already got the cards in, and yeah, God's going to send people. God, listen, God has a way of doing what we ask Him to do if it's in accordance to His will. And so don't ever be afraid to ask God for big things. Don't be afraid to ask God. As a matter of fact, God said, I want you to call on me. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So I want us to pray, and I want to ask you to pray with me. And don't forget, let's just keep that before the Lord. God, just give us $125,000 in this new fiscal year that we could give to missionary endeavor, to worldwide evangelism. And you pray that God would allow that to happen through this ministry. And it's not about the church. It's not about anything other than God's glory and the souls of men. That's all. We just want to see more and more people get reached, and we want to see our measure. Remember that, what Dr. Halsey was talking about there in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 10. We want to see our measure grow, expand, as our faith is expanded. And so you pray with me about that. I want to talk to you about how to get on the move in this matter of souls. Because see, I look across our congregation and I see people that are faithful, loyal. You love the Lord. You want to see people saved. I tell you, I hear pastors talk about it's like pulling teeth to get people to do this and do that. And well, I'm not a dentist. So I'm not going to get into the tooth-pulling business. I just want to preach the gospel, and I have confidence in this book. I have confidence that if we'll continue to preach the Bible, that those that are saved will want to obey the preached word of God. And so I believe that I speak to a loyal group of people, good Christian people. And yet I also know there's an enemy. Now there's an enemy. And this morning he was present. He was. Struggle. I mean, that's like plowing through a field. But that's all right. God's word went out. The enemy will be defeated. The enemy will be defeated. You remember that. We are on the winning side. All right? I've read the final chapter. I know how this thing's going to wind up. And so we just have to keep focused on that. We have to stay focused on the fact that God is going to accomplish His sovereign will. Stay focused on that. All right? Now, with that said, how are you? How am I? How are we going to stay focused on getting people saved, on staying engaged in world evangelism? We're talking about buying property. We're talking about building a building. We're talking about enlarging our coast here. Shouldn't we bring in the oars and focus on what God's doing here? By no means do we want to do that. Absolutely no means. We don't want to get so focused on what God's doing here that we forget the reason He's doing it here. He's doing it here so that we can broaden our base. And what's that going to do? Increase our measure, you see, worldwide. And so as we grow here, we're growing here for the purpose of expanding our measure worldwide. Right? That's God's way. We want to take care of our Jerusalem, certainly. Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the world. At the same time, you don't do it in segments, in seasons. Well, this season we'll take care of our Jerusalem, and then the following season we'll take care of our Judea and Samaria, and then we'll try to get around to the uttermost parts of the earth. No, both, Jesus said. In other words, at the same time, you got to stay focused on the souls of men. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to look at the greatest personal soul winner, I believe, in all the world. And when I say personal, I mean humanly speaking. Because Jesus Christ was, without a doubt, the greatest soul winner. If you want to get charged up, just go through the scripture and see how Jesus dealt with people. Go over in some time into Mark chapter 5 and see how He dealt with that man with a legion of devils. Read about how He dealt with Jairus when his daughter was sick unto death. And that woman with the issue of blood, how Jesus just never took a step, never got rattled, never became rattled, always honed in on what the need was. He dealt with Nicodemus. He met him, a personal meeting place, and he met him right there, one-on-one. He met with him, and he met him at the level of his need. And then there was that woman at the well, and he met her right there, and he brought her right through her prejudices and all that she had going against her, and he walked her right through it, living in open sin with a man. And Jesus just dealt with her right there at the level of her need. That'll fire you up. Listen, if that doesn't light a fire in you, then I'm telling you, something broken. You see how Jesus deals with people. But now here's this man. Here's this man, the Apostle Paul. He was a man of like passion as you and I. What kept the Apostle Paul going? I mean, here's a man that was stoned and left outside, drug outside the city and left there for dead. He was beaten and thrown into prison. You know what he did? He started a church there in Philippi, right? I mean, what was it that kept this man going? Well, I believe we have the answer right here. And I want you to circle. I'm going to give you three little simple things, but I'm telling you, this is what I need in my life, and I just can't help believe that it's what all of us need. All right, so let's look at it. I want you to underline or highlight some phrases here. Verse 14, you'll see there's three I ams here. All right, I am debtor, and we're going to talk about that. I am debtor. Now, probably we all could say, yeah, tell me about it, preacher. I owe a slew of debt. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about financial debt. I'm talking about spiritual debt here. All right, spiritual debt. Paul said, I am debtor. We're going to talk about that. So you have to understand what you are. You have to understand some things, and we'll get back to this. I am debtor. How does a person get to this place right here to realize I'm a debtor? I owe this. Now listen to me. I owe this. I'm a debtor. I owe this to folks. How do you get to that place? It's what will keep us going, brethren. It's what will keep us going. When the outside forces and the outside voices and the enemy is saying stop, and maybe even in your own mind and your own flesh, it says no, you have to. We have to come back to here. I'm a debtor. I'm debtor. All right? Number two, verse number 15, he says, so as much as in me is. Now that phrase right there is a phrase very similar that David used over in Psalm 103 when he said, in all that is within me, remember, bless the Lord, he said, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Now here's Paul using a very similar phrase. He said, so, in verse number 15, here's that phrase, as much as in me is, with all of my fiber, with every fiber of my being, with all that is within me, he said, I am ready. All right, so he said, I'm debtor. And if we're going to stay engaged in this thing of world evangelism, if we're going to stay engaged in this matter of realizing that when it comes down, listen, when this thing winds down, brethren, and it's all said and done, what really matters is what have we done with Christ? Have we shared him? Have we made him known? Knowing Christ and making him known. When it comes, listen, it's that simple. Know Christ. Do you know him? I believe that many of you, if not all of you, do. I don't know your heart, but I think that there's good, solid Christians that I speak to here this evening. Knowing Christ, now what? Make him known. Make him known. In whatever way God opens doors of opportunity, let's make him known. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm going to tell you this about this word. I'm eager to get to this word. When you look at this word, it comes from the same word we get the word thermostat. It means I am on fire. I have turned up the thermostat. The Spirit of God has turned up the thermostat in my soul. I'm ready, he said. There's something burning in me. Why? Because of verse number 14. He realized he was a debtor. And he said, I just want people to know who I know. I want them to know what I know. Amen? About this Jesus. Then look at verse number 16. He said in verse 16, I am not. So here's the three I ams. I am debtor. I am ready. I am not ashamed. Now this is what's going to keep us engaged in this matter of the souls of men. There's a lot going on in our world. Now a lot of it's unnecessary, and I realize that, and yet if I got into too much detail, it would probably discourage you and make you mad at me. And I don't want you to be mad at me. All right? But I'm going to say what God tells me to say, whether you get mad at me or not. But I want you to know that a lot of foolishness that we engage in and allow to take up our time is just that. It's foolishness. And we need to really prioritize some things in life. We're just chasing a lot of things, you know? Just chasing stuff. And we need to get to where we're not just chasing, but we're following. All right? There's a big difference in life. And I'm learning that the more that I live and the longer I live, the more I serve God, I'm learning that the old flesh wants to chase things, but the Spirit of God wants to follow. Follow Christ. So let's look at this. Verse 14. I want you to write this word down. Obligation. Because this is what Paul thought about. He said, I'm obligated. I'm obligated. I'm a debtor. That's what a debt is. It's an obligation. You make a debt, you're obligated to pay it. By the way, let me just say this, though. I'm not talking about financial things here. It's so. Right? You make a debt, you pay it. You borrowed $20 from me, pay it back. Amen. I borrowed $20 from you, I pay it back. That's just what Christians do. That's what good, moral people do. You borrow money, you pay it back. You don't just not pay it back and say, well, they've got more money than me and they don't need it. You borrow that money, you pay it back. You don't, you're a deadbeat. Amen. It's the Word of God. It's honesty. It's integrity. I am debtor. It's the same way spiritually. Now, what is Paul saying here? He's saying, number one, he said, this debt that I owe is both, look at it, he said it's to the Greeks and to the barbarian. Now, the first thing I want you to know about this is he's talking about a spiritual debt. Paul said, I know some things, and I owe it to others to tell them. Now, I want to ask you a question. Has Jesus done anything for you? Now, you think about this. Remember where you were before you met him? Remember the heartache? Remember the load? Remember the burden of sin? Remember where you were when Christ came to you and reached out to you and rescued you and set you free? Look at the life that you live. Brethren, look at the life we live. We're in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings. We get to hear great preaching from people like Dr. Halsey, Ron Comfort, Mike Edwards. The list could go on. God has blessed us abundantly. We get to have a copy of the Bible. We get to enjoy good spirit-filled singing, the fellowship of the saints. I thought about those folks on the mission field, and sometimes they have to go in hiding, and their fellowship is so sporadic because of fear. But I thought about how that we as believers, just about any time we want to, we can get together. Tonight after the service, we won't be fleeing like rats off of a sinking ship. If you choose to, you can go right in the back, fellowship, carry on conversation, talk to people, and eat an ice cream too. Amen? That's good stuff. Fellowship, preaching, exercising your spiritual gifts. Paul said, I know too much. I know too much not to share with people. Don't you want other people to experience the joy of salvation? I do, and I believe you do too. So here's our first step. You've got to realize you're a debtor. See, someone told you, I came to Jesus on my own, preacher. No, you didn't. There's no one ever come to Jesus on their own. No one. Someone realized they were a debtor to you, and someone realized there was a debtor to me. And so they came to me. Yes, the Spirit of God came to me and drew me, but then he brought a human being into my circle so that they could tell me what I was searching for. I had no idea what I was searching for. I knew it was something that humanly speaking, I couldn't possess, but I did not know how to grab hold of it until God sent a human instrument my way and showed me from the Word of God what I needed. Thank God for that individual. I don't remember his last name. I just know his first name was Pat. And I remember one time Sharon and I was out eating and I saw that man and I just broke down. I went to him and I said, you probably don't remember me. I was just an old hippie in a rundown trailer. But I got gloriously saved when you came by and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. And him and his wife sit there with tears running down their cheeks, not because I'm somebody, but because Jesus is somebody. And it's worth sharing him. Why? When you realize you're a debtor. See, we're a debtor. That person you work beside in the workplace, you owe them a debt. That person that lives in the neighborhood, I owe my neighbors a debt. We owe people that God crosses paths with us a debt. And then there's those outside of the realm and who we can see with the physical eye that God will send others there representing us. We are debtors to them. We must realize we're debtors. Notice what Paul said. He said, I'm not only debtor to the Greeks, but I am to the barbarians as well. And he said also, to the wise and to the unwise. It's not only a spiritual debt, it's a special debt, right? Doesn't matter who you are. The Greeks and barbarians just about summed it up. It doesn't matter, brethren. There's like 194 nations out there. You know who we're debtors to? 194 nations. That's who we're debtors to. We know some things that others don't know. So we have to begin here. All right, we begin with the fact that we realize we're a debtor. And when we begin to realize what Jesus has done for us, now listen to me very carefully. It pays us to spend some time alone with God and to go back and remember where God found us. You know what it does? It creates a sense of indebtedness in us. Are you listening? It creates a sense of we're debtors. Look what God has done for me. And what God has done for me, it is no secret He'll do for them. And I want to give them that message. This is what kept Paul going. Oh, listen, they tried to shut his mouth. They tried to take him out. But Paul realized he was a debtor. You're a debtor. I'm a debtor. As God's children, we owe a debt. Now, Jesus paid the ultimate debt, right? He paid the debt of sin. But we owe a debt to tell them that Jesus paid the price of their sin. And so if we're going to stay on the move now, if we're going to stay engaged in this thing of reaching the souls of men here at home and abroad, then we're going to have to keep in our minds, I'm a debtor. I owe a debt. I can't keep this precious jewel. I can't keep this good news to myself. I've got to share it with others. I want them to know how great my God is and how good Jesus is and the wonderful Savior that He's been to me. So, number one, a debtor. Look at number two in verse number 15. I want you to think about this. Not only did he have an obligation, but he had a passion. Look what he said here. He said in verse number 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, there were three main hubs in the days of the Apostle Paul. Jerusalem was the religious hub, the religious center in Paul's day. And then there was Greece. There was Athens and Greece. The Greeks, they were kind of the intellectual hub of the day. Rome was the legal hub of the day. All right? These three spheres of people and these groups of these people groups, they kind of dominated the world in which Paul lived in. And I see where Paul went into every one. And every one of them just tried to kick him out and spit him out. But he just kept going. You know, when you go to someone and you try to tell them, they're liable to do you that way too. You know, there's an old saying, the true test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. Now think about that for a moment. You say, preacher, I failed. You think that's bad? Let's see how bad that is. Everyone in the building tonight that's never failed, stand to your feet. See, we got this thing mixed up. When I was younger, I used to think failing was the end. That was the worst thing ever. But it's not. Quitting is. And there's a big difference between failing and quitting. Preacher, how many times have you failed? More times than I want to talk to you about.
But I haven't quit yet. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to quit. And don't you quit either. So you go to somebody and you tell them about Jesus and they don't want to hear it, or you mess up and you get your words tangled up and twisted and you don't do it right, and you feel like, well, I just failed, so I'm not going to do it again. Don't you allow that to cause you to quit. You go to the next person, and then the next person, and then the next person. And God will begin to work in your life, in my life, and He'll teach us to be the soul winners that we have a burning desire in our heart to be for Christ. Why? We're debtors. And Paul said, I am so indebted that I am not going to allow my failures to stop me. So the true test of a man's character is not if he fails or succeeds. It's what it takes to stop him. And don't you let anyone tell you any different. Because I have never read of a person that succeeded on the first try and went on to be something. I could read you story after story of people who tried and failed, some many, many times, and now they are the successful people that we look to and we think, my, what a success. But before success came failure. Before triumph came tragedy. And it's this way when it comes to this thing of sharing the gospel. The devil will win a round or two. The enemy will win a round or two, but don't you let him win the fight. You stay in the fight. You keep telling people about Jesus. Now let's look at a couple things here and I'll move on. He said in verse number 15, so as much as in me is. Now I want you to write this down right beside that. 100%. This is what kind of Christian Paul was. He was 100%er. When it came to telling people about Jesus. He wasn't a half-hearted. Now, the reason that many people are not getting a lot of headway and making a lot of headway in this matter of telling others about Jesus is because they're giving it about 50% and people see it when you're telling about it. They see that 50%. Don't be a 50%er now. You're not going to get many people to follow you if you're a 50%er. Now, listen to me. You must be all in. Why did people gravitate to these men in the scripture? They were 100%ers. They were all in. And if we're going to get people to want to know something about the God that we serve and the Jesus that we tell about, we're going to have to be all in. We can't go half-hearted and say, hey, you know what? If you ain't got nothing else to do, and if you can just clear a little time in your schedule to come on down to the church sometime. You know, I get down there every now and then when I haven't got nothing else going on. Listen to me. No one wants any of that. No one wants any of that. I think we've got some ball players in the building tonight, and I want to tell you something. If I was a coach and you came to ball practice and you were giving me 50%, you're going to ride the pine. I want you to know that. 50% don't do it for me. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't accept it either. If I was a foreman and you came to work and was giving me 50%, you wouldn't work with me. I'd cut you loose. We don't need 50%ers. We need folks that are all in. All in. Pray tell me how people can get all in about a football or a basketball or a softball and not get all in for someone like Jesus. All in for a recreational hobby or a workforce and not get all in for the souls of men. And yet there's something about the chemical makeup of our flesh that we want to save the second hand and the leftovers for God when it needs to be what's first in our lives. It was for Paul. He was all in, brethren. Look at what it says here. He said, so, verse 15, as much as in me is. If you can't see 100% in that, you won't ever see 100%. He said, as much as in me is, all that's within me. He said, I'm all in. I'm not backing up, amen? I'm coming to Rome, and I'm going to preach to you. I'm not coming to sightsee. I'm coming to soul win. I'm not coming for history. I'm coming for eternity. I'm coming to preach the gospel unto you which are at Rome also. Amen. That's a man who's all in. You want to make a difference in people's lives? Get all in with Jesus. All in. You say, preacher, what's that going to take? I can't answer that question. But you can. I can answer it for me. I can't answer that question for you. I can just sum it up generally speaking and say it's total commitment, total consecration. No sin that easily besets us and waits that get us off course and weigh us down in this race that God has placed us in. All right? Look at what he said. I am ready. See that word ready? I told you earlier it comes from the word that we get our word thermostat or thermometer from. What's Paul saying here? He said, I'm hot about this. He said, listen. He said, there's a fire in me. There's a fire. So you see, these things go together. You realize what Jesus has done for you, and it just builds something in you. You get to revisiting where Jesus found us, right? Right? You get to thinking about what God did in your life and where God's brought you from and where he's brought you to and where he's carrying you. All the goodness of God. And you say, you know, I want this person and these people and these. I want them to hear about this. I want them to know this great God that loves me and has done so much for me. It'll build a fire in us. It'll build a fire. And he said, in verse 15, so as much as in me as I am ready, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Look at this word, also. What do you mean, Paul? Paul said, well, I've preached it here and here and here and here and here. I'm coming to the town near you. I'm coming. Amen. I like that attitude. I'm coming. You know, I want some of that. I'm going to be honest with you. And just bear my soul with you. I want some of that right there. I'm coming. And I'm bringing a message with me when I come. Would to God that God's people could get some of what Paul had right here. As much as in me is, 100%. 100%. I'm ready. There's a fire in me. I'm 100%. The fire's burning. And look what he said. And he said, I'm going to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. See that word? Also. You've heard. You've heard. I'm going to tell you, people heard too. They heard about this man. And he said, I'm coming to you. Know what to expect when you see me. You know, I think sometimes people think this is bad, but I want to tell you it's good. When people see you coming and they start trying to duck and dodge, don't take that as a bad thing. They know what you're bringing. They know what you're bringing. And one day, you won't have to chase them. They'll meet you halfway. They'll be coming to you. Because God is going to build something in their heart called a need. And you have the answer. I have the answer. It's Jesus, brethren. There's a vacuum in every person in this world that only Jesus can fill. There's a vacancy. Don't you let the devil tell you any different now. Don't you let him tell you any different. That's why the next verse says what it says. Look at verse number 16. For I am not ashamed. Paul said, I'm coming. I'm a debtor. I'm 100% in. I'm not ashamed. I believe the gospel is the answer. Now, folks, listen to me. This is where I want you to listen. I'm going to close right here with this verse of Scripture. But I want you to hear me. I got a few things I want to say about this verse. The devil wants us to be ashamed of this gospel that I speak to you about. And he wants us to feel like that we're not debtors, that people don't want to hear this. It really doesn't matter what people want to hear. It's what they need to hear. See, we live in a society that's got it all mixed up. There are people that think what really matters is what they want. That doesn't matter. It's what you need. It's what the need is. We have the need. We have the answer. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed. You see, I believe he said this because he'd already been to Athens, where those great minds and those intellectuals were there, and they looked at Paul and they said, this man's a babbler. Paul said, oh no, you've got it wrong. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have the answer of what you need. And so don't you be afraid to square somebody up and let them know. What kind of degrees do you have, son? Not many.
But I've got a fire burning in my heart that rings up degrees that you're unaware of. All right? And I'm here to give you the answer to what your need is. It's Jesus. Doesn't matter. Wise, look what he said back in verse number 14. Wise and unwise. Don't let these people with education, and I'm talking about these educated fools now. I'm for education. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about these people that are too educated for church and Jesus and the Bible. Just so you know. So don't misunderstand me now. You know what I'm talking about. Professing themselves to be wise, Romans 1:22, they became fools. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Don't you let these people intimidate you. You know, that Bible's antiquated and it's old-fashioned and it's out of date and it has nothing to do. There's no relevancy. There's plenty of relevancy in what this book has. And so don't you let folks intimidate you that way. Let me tell you what this book will do. Look what he said in verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's good news. It's good news. I come bearing good news today. You can have your sin forgiven. Oh, but I'm smart. I'm intelligent. Yeah. Yeah. I could probably be around you for about 30 minutes and find out how intelligent you are. Your intelligence is not going to break that chain and addiction of sin you're in. All right? Your intelligence is not going to keep you off of the porn sites. Your intelligence is not going to keep you out of the taverns from rolling up and smoking dope, running heroin. Intelligence can't do that for you, but the blood of Jesus can. You see, so don't rely on your intelligence. Well, I'm talented. Don't rely on your talent. You need something outside of yourself, outside of man. And Paul said here, I'm not ashamed. Don't you be ashamed of the gospel now. This is the answer, brethren. Oh, but preacher, there's so many religions out there. This is the answer right here. See, you've got to be all in right here. You can't be 50-50, 75-25, not even 99-1. You have to be 100%. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It changes lives. You're looking at a man that has seen life after life after life after life after life changed by the power of this book. Don't you be ashamed of this book. You let them know the same power that you need to change your life has been made available for all those lives that it changed before you. Amen. You don't have to be ashamed of this book. I've seen it make the whore pure, the whoremonger loyal, the drunkard sober, the addict clean, the crook honest, the liar tell the truth. I've seen this book clean them up, brother, and you have too. We don't have to be ashamed of this book. This book changes lives. They might sit back in their, listen, they might sit back with their arms folded saying, well, you know, there's this and there's that and there's errors in the Bible and there's man wrote the Bible. I had someone tell me just this past week, well, you know, men wrote the Bible. I said, hey, they didn't write the one I got hold of, amen. I'm going to tell you who wrote the one I got hold of. The one that changed my life. You show them the power of a changed life. They might be willing to argue this and argue that, debate this and debate that, but they cannot debate the power of a changed life. That's where it's at. But you got to get all in. You have to get all in. Paul's seen it. Paul's seen it happen. He's seen it happen. He was in that jail when the jailer come in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He's seen his life changed. He's seen them, listen, following devils and then follow Christ through conversion. He's seen them come to Christ and see their life change. You have too. He changed your life and he's changed many others. So, you know, you don't have to be ashamed of this Bible. You stand up boldly. Now, listen, don't go to work tomorrow now and take your Bible and shove it in somebody's face on the break. Don't do that. That's the way a lot of folks turn people away.
get fired up at a church service and you go in, well, I'm just going to cram it down their throat, preacher. Listen, their throat's not what needs it. Their heart is. You pray for them and you tell them, I want to tell you what will change your life. What makes you think I need a change? Don't make me have to answer that. You and I both know what you need. Why don't you let me tell you how God loves you and sent his son to die in your place, was buried and rose again from the grave, that you could know what it is to have peace and joy in your heart and purpose in your life. The power of a changed life. So here it is. All right, number one, I'm a debtor. That's where it starts. You think you owe people in Spain something? Argentina? China? Cambodia? You think we owe people in other nations of the world something? Sure we do. We're debtor. But now, let's bring it a little closer. Neighbors. Listen, God's been speaking to my heart. I'm going to my neighborhood this next week. I'm going to try to tell everybody on my street and the streets around me, I want to try to tell them, listen, about Jesus. They know I'm a preacher, but I want to get deeper than that. I want to tell them about Jesus Christ. I'm a debtor. I got to let them know. I got to let them know. If they die and go to hell, I don't want their blood to be on my hands, you see. Who will join me? Don't raise your hand. In your heart. Who will tell their neighbors or co-workers? Who will tell people about Jesus? Get you some tracts on the way out. Pick up a faith promise card and pray, God, what, you want me to give more? You say, well, I've given all God told me to give. That's fine. But if God tells you to give more, give more. Pick up some tracts and distribute them. I'm a debtor. Number two, I'm ready. You'll never get ready to realize you're a debtor. You'll never get ready till you realize you're a debtor. And then when you get ready, don't be ashamed. Don't let the enemy tell you, oh, nobody wants to hear that. Well, I tell you right now, the day that those people came to my home, oh my, I was waiting. I couldn't wait. I didn't know what all was coming, but I just knew I needed something. And what I didn't realize is it's not really something I needed. I needed someone. And oh, glorious day, happy day, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. What a day that was. I don't ever forget it. I don't think you ever can. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's where it's at. It's the power. Look at verse 16 as we close now. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There it is. Universal now. It's universal. So God help us to stay on the move with this gospel message. Say, now, preacher, we can't do it all. We can't do it all. Well, I don't know that God's called us to do it all. But I want to do all that God's purpose for us. And I believe you do too. All right? Well, we can't do it all, preacher. Well, I understand that. But we can do all that God's purposed for us to do. I want to meet that potential. So let's stand to our feet. What's it going to